It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
We're with Milo Fank, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband.
Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Holy shit, it's the Real Ass Podcast. We're back. What is up, you fucking white pussies? Look at you. Look at you, white America, just sitting there with your fucking tail between your legs, getting smacked in your fucking pussy white faces. It's hilarious.
Yeah, because we're the ones that have tails.
I love the fact that white people have to grovel and beg, and they have to talk about how bad they are and about how everything that you guys are doing. It's just hilarious to me. I'm watching it. I'm like, get up off the ground, you losers. Get up. Stop groveling at their feet, you fucking losers. Holy shit. It's great. It is great to just really be a little brown and be able to sort of ski by safely in this environment, because you guys, woof, it sucks. Did you guys post black images today? It is Blackout Tuesday. Well, welcome to Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez, international superstar Zach D'Amico. What's up, son?
How you doing, pal?
Good, man. Feeling pretty good.
I feel it's a new day. It's very nice outside right now. I'm not affected in Harlem at all. And we're going to get into this because Blackout Tuesday and these riots and all this other stuff. I don't want to make it just a politicized show. It's just that's really the only thing going on right now. It was coronavirus for weeks. Now it's race riots. That's fun. We're making progress. Ultimately, if you really want to put it on some sort of grand scale, 100,000 Americans killed versus, you know, I'm sure it's not that many black people killed by cops every flu season, right? If they were killing 100,000 black people every flu season, I would actually be marching right now. That's fucking bananas, okay? And I didn't give a fuck about COVID. So if I'm downplaying the COVID numbers, I got to also sort of downplay the police brutality numbers. But let's get into that. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, two white guests on the show representing the white race, true and proud. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Colin Terrell.
Thank you. Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Very happy to have you back on the show. Colin, yeah. How are you handling all of this? Are you embarrassed of your whiteness? Are you asking for forgiveness?
No.
That's not the right answer.
I don't know if I could show up with less guilt about other people's white shit. I came here just with all the good white treatment has just ran out.
Is just looting black-owned small businesses. That's it.
Yeah, and I have been for years.
Drug dealers.
I'm shooting guys and dragging them onto my property.
I get it. And very happy to have back on the show. He's fucking out in nature right now. I'm listening to birds chirping. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the one and only Aaron Berg. What's up, brother?
What's up, man? What a treat. What a beautiful day, man. Fucking getting lots of love on Instagram, man. Everybody else is quiet. I'm fucking blowing my posts up, man.
It's a blackout day. What a great day to write jokes. The cream rises to the top, and there's just not that much.
Cream rising to the top.
Yeah.
It's good to be here, man. I haven't seen you in a while. It's nice to be on.
Now, you are in Baltimore, right? Is that where you are?
My house. I'm in Queens.
Oh, you're in Queens. All right.
Yeah. I was in Delaware for a while.
That was where you were.
That's months. Great.
And so are there demonstrations near your house right now, Arnberg? Are you worried about, you know, possibly people coming in and fucking with your shit?
We're armed. I welcome it with open arms. If someone comes into my house, they will not leave alive.
This is what I really love.
Oh, yes. Yes, man.
It's not a question in our minds. Our neighborhood is very safe. They looted the Queen Center Mall yesterday, but someone comes in my house, they're dead. We already had two people come up to the door. The Ring doorbell went off. My wife goes, "Someone's here." I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Do you have the wires to hotwire our truck? It won't start." And the guy used the term hotwire. He didn't say, "Do you have jumper cables?" And I go, "Nah, man, we don't have anything." Then they walked away. They went two separate directions. The guys weren't even together. So if anyone, a good protest, they will eventually go to a residential neighborhood just to shake it up and scare people and let them know we're everywhere. If they come to my house, they will be leaving in body bags.
Well, there's been some fucking great posts out there. Like the one basketball player, I guess his name is J.R. Smith. He just beat the shit out of some fucking punk white kid that broke the window of his car. It's fucking excellent. It really is excellent. Shannon, if you could even find that, it's Jarrett Smith. It's him beating the shit out of a white kid. And then he also posts to social media later. I think it's on WorldStar, where he's just like, yo, this fuck, I watched this kid crash through my window. It's just very funny that just the image of a white kid in support of black people is breaking a black guy's window, and watching that black guy beat the shit out of this fucking kid was so satisfying.
7 foot giant athlete. Yeah. Out of his fucking house.
Yeah, just
there's a lot of good, funny content out there that like people are missing now because the rioting bloopers are fucking hilarious. Like people that don't know how to riot and glass falling on their head. And, well, it's great.
There's a great video just a few hours ago of these guys. Did you see it? There was like a couple of guys playing beer pong in their apartment, and then the protests go by, so they all start waving at the window, and then all the protesters just start throwing bricks through their window, and then they're screaming at them going, please, no, we support you, why would you do that? It's the fucking funniest.
Yeah, did any of the bricks land in the cup?
Beer bong champion.
Well, you can watch that one. That they're saying is that I don't know what it is. I'm so the opposite of a conspiracy theorist. Or you know what it is? I like to maybe play devil's advocate or whatever it is. So now there's this theory that somebody is leaving massive amounts of bricks, like piles of bricks.
That was me. I did it in Soho the other night. I went down, I bought my neighbor's pickup truck. I was like, let's stir shit up. I did Soho. I did Macy's last night. I'm owning up to it. I'm not Antifa, but I figured why not get these Antifa people arrested so that they can't do these Luisa Diaz bar shows when they come back. Jesus, I'm thinking ahead.
Dude, the fact that what's his name was arrested. Oh, this is Jarrett Smith. Let's talk about that too. God, give us some volume, Shannon.
Oh, sorry. Wait, I don't know if there's audio on this clip.
Yeah, there should be.
You don't need it. I'm not hearing it either. Somebody like that.
Yeah.
Look at that.
There we go. Look at that. Look at that. Watch this big shot. Boom.
Dude, he kicked that kid so hard his shoes got whiter.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, look, you got, and this is what I've been saying since day one. It's like you guys are encouraging these fucking kids to go out there and destroy property, break things. They're gonna get hurt. Right, the amount of people that have been killed already, the amount of people that are getting hurt, fucked up, hitting them with bricks, shot with rubber bullets. There's no positive side of what is going on out there, almost at all, you know. And today, this Blackout Tuesday thing was fucking, poof, just fucking crazy. It really got me going. But these bricks, that's a big conspiracy theory right now, is that people are leaving pallets of bricks all over, you know, New York City, California. And I've seen images of it, but I almost feel like I almost want to look at the people who are posting the videos as the source of where the bricks are coming from.
Mm-hmm. I saw the ones with the cops, like, leaving them on the side of a pickup truck. And the people are like, what's going on? Why are they doing this? You think those people taping it are responsible for it? I have no idea what to believe, but I will tell you
anything. Like I said, there's something to it, right? So I saw the one thing I responded to, it was like a big pile of bricks in the center of the street in New York City. And it was like,
and there was no construction.
Yeah.
But there was, because here's the thing. There's a whole scaffolding on the left-hand side of the video. It's like a whole big scaffolding. That's a construction site. If you see scaffolding on a building in New York City, they're doing repairs to that building. So in my mind, that's not weird to see a pile of supplies sitting on the side of a building in New York City. But if this is happening all, like the one I know on Rogan's podcast.
Oh yeah, because all construction sites keep their supplies outside of the construction site, just in the street for people to grab, not within the confines of the construction site.
I think if you're looking for, like, yes, Zach, if I wanted to right now, if I wanted to walk through New York City and find some loose bricks, I could find them pretty easily. I don't think you're, because I've told this story in the podcast before, okay? I swear to God, I'm not just, there's no, I don't know. Maybe the people.
Yeah, but you're Puerto Rican. You find bricks like pigs find truffles.
But what I'm saying is, do you remember I told the story about the time the kids, like those fucking ghetto kids, sort of like barking at my dog Sport, and I freaked out. I was in Washington Heights, and then there was a pile of fucking bricks, a pile of bricks, and I went and got one, and I went to my roof, and I wanted to fucking hit the kid in the head with it. And I'm so glad I didn't get the angle, because I might have killed this fucking kid. It was like six or seven ghetto-ass 17-year-old black kids, and they were trying to intimidate me, and they started, like, fucking stomping at Sport. And It was fucking crazy.
Hey, Lewis, what happened when I came to your house to babysit James?
Oh, yes, exactly, in Harlem. Somebody threw a brick at Zach's head.
Get the fuck out.
Yes.
This is years ago.
Yeah, of course. That's actually
James was a baby.
Yeah.
Someone threw a brick at your head.
Yes, and it split in half on the front of Lewis's house, and I banged his doorbell 85 times screaming, "Let me in."
Yeah. Why'd this happen?
I don't know. Have you looked at me for 3 seconds?
Well, so what? I would see you and be like, oh, that guy's not a threat. What, why am I going to bother?
The guy thought it was Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah.
He's actually trying to protect the city.
Your last show,
Ghostbusters up in here.
Your last joke was better. They thought I was a police van covered in graffiti.
Yes, that's awesome.
Oh, man, that guy got 5 policemen in his belly. Get in. Oh, this guy is a cop eater, man. I've seen this movie, man. He come up here and then all these other cops come out of him and he morph into many cops. Quick, throw one brick. Stop.
Yo, I think my cousin's inside of that punk kid.
Yo, man. Oh, that Green Day, man. That's a whole band.
But here's the thing. So that's what I'm saying. It's not even being like, I don't have an agenda here. I'm just saying you can't say that there's not piles of bricks lying around in New York City when you and I, Zach, both have stories. Now, I don't walk the streets looking for pallets, but I'm thinking right now, I can think there's like a dumpster down here, like a big dumpster at a construction site. And I'm almost fucking positive that there are big fucking cinder block bricks right along the side of it that are sort of stacked up. You know, maybe whatever. I'm just saying it's not a foregone conclusion that people, whether it's Antifa, whether it's fucking Black Lives Matter, whether it's cops, whether it's people that are, I don't know what's going on. It's just not a foregone conclusion that there's people putting bricks out there for that exact reason.
No, it is. There's no way. There's no way you're right on this. Really? Some of those videos, there's nothing going on. They're blocks.
Do we have some of them? Yeah. All
right. So there's a couple of cones.
Can I say why? Can I say what's a little bit weird, though? These protesters question pile of bricks with no construction going on. So they are this. Here's what I'll say. They're the same type of bricks in this one. And they're the same type of bricks in the other one. Two different areas of the city.
Why is Sam J in this picture?
This one's different. Okay, so this is the one that I saw with the scaffolding on the left. So this is when I initially said, I was like, that's not necessarily, because it was all wooden. They were all tied together. It was sort of random. Now, the one in L.A. that Rogan was pointing out on his podcast, they were similar looking bricks to the gray ones that were in those other two images. Look, there's something there. I will say there's something weird. There's something weird, but you can't just say automatically guaranteed that, because I'm telling you, I picked up fucking a brick in New York City and I was going to murder somebody with it. I have this. I've told this story many and many a times.
Okay. I don't think the fact that they both look similar bricks Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I think you'll find these are similar colored bricks.
Your Honor, Exhibit A, the wall behind every comedy club.
I've seen photos of that.
Clearly, these bricks all have six sides.
Your Honor, I have been told that most comedy clubs feature brick walls. If I were allowed in them, I would be able to confirm such a fact.
Comedy clubs are where free speech happens, and this is the shutting down of free speech. And they will put the bricks on the street, and free speech will not be instilled until everybody has a pair of sneakers. At the highest of levels, people think it's political, right? On a conspiracy level, people think the deep state's involved, Antifa or somebody, or maybe Republicans are dropping these bricks off to trick the Democrats into beating them so that they can be arrested and affect the vote. There's so many fucking stories about it. The reality is it's a subservient act happening now where white people are so involved with it that they just want to help out. But I don't know who's doing all the stealing. Who's doing the stealing, Lewis?
Well, that's the other thing. It's like they're like, you hear like, it's all white kids doing the looting. It's like, I've watched some videos. Those white kids sure do look dark.
No, those are white people from the sun.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. And like, that's the thing. You can't fucking say that. You're called racist for even pointing it out. And you're like, dude, it's fine. You can't just, when people say ridiculous things like, you know what, it's mainly white kids out there doing the looting, you're like, that is fucking crazy and irresponsible. I mean, if you watch the news, I was watching CNN last night for like 15 minutes, and it was, I mean, Anderson Cooper, and I'm not shitting you, was crying on air, going, "Look, I just don't understand how he's our president." And I'm like, "This is the fucking news. I'm watching a news show. Report the fucking news, then let us formulate our opinions. Why are you crying?"
Don Lemon's back. I watched Don Lemon and he screwed up too. He's like, "You know, the last time he was in a church," and Cuomo's like, "No." And he's like, "New Year's Eve." And then I was like, "No one goes to church at New Year's." So a minute later, he goes, "The last time he was in church was Christmas Eve." And he's a crybaby too. They're shocked. They don't know how to handle the news and let people formulate their own opinions. You're absolutely right, Lewis.
They should. It's just, it's, you can't even watch it. It's fucking crazy. I try to opt out in every opportunity. So today is Blackout Tuesday. I think we are breaking some sort of racial law by recording a podcast today. Correct?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to stream, is what I read. You're not
stream
supposed to
stream this shit,
streaming.
Baby. Stream it. Fucking stream this shit, Lou.
Why don't you? So, I think the idea of Blackout Tuesday is first thing first, you're supposed to take a plain black image, right, and post it to Instagram to let everyone know you support it. But then you're also.
Sneakers, a nice car. Yes.
Ben Vereen.
Fucking, you're supposed to post this image to show solidarity for Black Lives Matter, which is one thing. I see some friends doing it. Bobby Kelly did it. Kumia even did it, which was crazy.
No, he didn't. You moron.
Kumia's was the Metallica album.
Oh, was it?
Kumia's yeah, it was the Black album.
I didn't say it, dude. I literally thought Kumia did it, and I lost. I was like, "Wow, Kumia." I was like, "You really think this is going to make things okay now?" I was like, "What is going on?"
Kumia's was hilarious.
I was looking for the prank. I was like, I turned it over. I was looking at it in the sun, maybe. That's so funny.
If Kumia posted a black image, it's a close-up of his girlfriend's eye.
Oh, it is. Yeah, that's so funny, dude. I just skimmed.
Yeah. Did you see mine, Lou?
No, I didn't see
yours. Put one up this morning that was really good, and then I saw your hair one, which is fucking mind-blowingly funny.
Aaron, so Shannon, show the one that I posted in solidarity.
So then I put a second one up after I saw your hair one, and that was Jeff Ross put one up that had text on it this morning too, but it was just like he goes in solidarity and my calendar for 2020, and it was just black.
Yeah, I just feel like you gotta. I mean,
yours is great. Yours is really
I just posted
my
that.
First one was real. My second one's really good. You get to go back a picture. No,
she did. She started the right. She started it right. There
so
it is.
So funny.
Fuck
it
you.
It used to be you.
Yeah, I crushed it today, guys. I crushed it.
Can you show mine, Shannon? Can I see mine?
Let's see Aaron's. So, then you're also supposed to have sort of a media blackout. You're not supposed to be posting any self-serving images, videos, content, whatever it is. And all this is, okay, this entire thing, this Blackout Tuesday, it is a reverse scarlet lettering of people for racism, and they're utilizing their own white guilt. So when you don't post it, then people get to go, look at your friends' timelines. Whoever does not post this is a racist. And then everyone's going, I don't want to be perceived as racist, but it's not real. Most people are posting it so they're not perceived as racist. Some people are posting it to support this movement, Black Lives Matter, which is fine, you know, but I really truly believe this deep down in my fucking soul that virtue signaling bullshit has an adverse effect. It does not have the intended effect. You want to show solidarity, and you have all of these fucking pussies that are going like, "Cool, I did my part." The celebrities, I hit send. And they think they've done enough. They get the endorphins and they feel like they're a part of this movement and they're doing something. But it's really intangible fucking horseshit. Now, this isn't just with this. I've been saying this for a long time. Go volunteer at a fucking soup kitchen. Walk around your neighborhood and clean up some fucking litter. Do anything. Virtue signaling and going on social media and saying, like, "I care," it actually has a negative effect. You're part of the problem because all of those people now, instead of doing something to get those endorphins off, instead of doing something in order to really feel like they're a part of the change, they get to fucking do something fake without any real tangible effect. And essentially they're getting to opt out without opting out. It's fucking bullshit. It's actually, it's literally substantially worse than not doing anything at all, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Which one? This one?
I like the one on the left was the funnest, but the first one was good. The first black one was good. No, that's a moon. That's racist. Moon crickets. It's a moon and a cricket.
No. That's just coincidentally.
It's just a moon and a cricket.
Aaron Rowe, put up a black screen, take it down, put it back up, fix your hashtags, take it down again, put it back up, go on Twitter and be fake, woke as fuck, check your black screen again. It's the exact, it's an exact science. Yeah, of course, dude. It is, yeah, dude.
They all posted black screens in the morning, and then they put like hashtag Black Lives Matter, and they're like, don't put hashtag Black Lives Matter because then people won't know what's going on, and it overdoes the feed. And it's like,
well, I guess the reason they were saying don't put Black Lives Matter is because it was blacking out because it's a lie. Why lie on social media? That's why. Berg Gomez, 2020.
Yeah. Why lie on social media? It's fun. You're right. I do a lot of race humor. So do you. We've both grown up. We're very marginalized.
Oh, yeah.
I get the pain that the community's gone through, and I get why it gets violent. It makes sense. And you know, Ari said for years, peaceful protest doesn't change anything. Sometimes protests have to get violent. It happened before. It happened when Obama was president, when cops were getting shot in Dallas. It's happening now. So you can't... you can't begrudge that community for being that angry. You simply cannot. And, you know, I should be on the other side, but you can't. But when it comes to the point where it's like, okay, it's going to come to your house or your place of business, that's when people change their tune. If someone comes into your business, fucking wrecks the studio, right then it snaps. And you're like, I don't give a shit what these people have been through. This guy's dead, right? Yeah. That is that the logic? So I mean, people that of, to aren't degree, personally I affected
I have,
by
I have
it.
Self-preservation to a certain degree. So I think I would like to think that I would run in the opposite direction. Time and time again, I've proven that probably wouldn't be the case. I put myself into dangerous situations often for no fucking reason at all. So if somebody's actually attacking something that we've, you know, spent years and, you know, tons and tons of resources and money building, yeah, I would think that my emotions might get the best of me. But yeah, dude, there's like... I don't know. There's no right answers for any of this stuff, you know?
You're and right.
It seems like they want to put that racist label on you if you don't agree with every single aspect of it. So I opt out completely. I just refuse. I write jokes and I fucking say what I really mean. And I think more fucking comics need to do that. More
yeah,
comics
you need have to, go to-
and be, try to be funny about it and just try to, you know, just the amount of people that are just fucking like, it's just like, Christ almighty, dude, just fucking be a little funny about it. At least have one punchline about this whole thing and not just be a fucking blubbering mess.
Yeah, it's like it's so serious. Comics that would be like, we always need to be there in tough times. It's like, okay, here's a tough time. All you're doing is putting up a black screen. You really think that that's going to change the world. And this, my fear is that the people that are really silent on it, it's going to fuck up comedy when it comes back. Because now, if this keeps going and say clubs open in 2 months, and we go back in, and there's a string of black jokes. People are going to be way. It's going to be like Eastville in Brooklyn everywhere. Like it's going to be a fucking shit show. And these people are also going to try and push out the real comics. They've made it very clear there may not be room for satire in this post.
Well, in the cities, it's going to be really weird. New York and LA is really weird. That's why I'm very happy. I'm very close to moving. I think Westchester, maybe Jersey. Dave Smith just moved to Jersey. I went up to Bobby Kelly's the other day in Westchester, and dude, all I want to do is build a home gym so bad.
Yeah. I went to Bobby's house a couple weeks ago, and you've been there before. It's a nice hang, but it's like, are the clubs really going to, I don't want to get way the fuck off track. Are the clubs really going to come back? And if they do, what's it going to be like? And how long is this city going to be a shithole for? You've lived in this city back when it was a shithole, right? It's going to be a shithole again.
Maybe. I don't know. I think people will fucking... I think it's a very elitist city. And also, people have short memories, dude. Mm. You know, we've had fucking riots. Dude, I lived through 9/11 in New York. We were up and running. New York got fucking back to it, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was... that. You guys got to understand, like, were any of you guys in New York during 9/11? I know, Zach, you were in Jersey. I mean, you have to understand what it was like to have New York impacted by this. It was chaos. I got out of school and the entire city was like, we're under attack. I've never, obviously I can't put myself in a place of fucking like a war zone in the Middle East, but that's what Lower Manhattan felt like. The chaos that people felt like, we didn't know if fucking more planes were coming to hit into buildings, bombs, things were going to go off. Everyone was like, it was craziness. And the next day, I remember the entire city. I'd never seen the city shut down. Now we're seeing this, but the day after 9/11, everything was shut down. The subways, there was nobody in or out of the city. 9/11, 9/12, nobody in or out. I had a rollerblade the day after that. I had a rollerblade out of New York City because there was no cars allowed out of New York City. All those
you're
cops.
You're the guy in the David Cross joke. You remember David Cross's joke? Nobody stops Lewis from rollerblading.
But that, like,
Lewis has tears running down his face. He's covered in ash and soot and stuff, and he's just rollerblading in nice little short shorts.
Yeah. The city will never be the same again.
He looks like a statue on wheels.
But I gotta be honest with you, the city was the same again. The city actually was fucking stronger after that. You watch people fucking sort of come together. And it became this thing that united the city. And this sort of reminds me to a certain degree. The only difference was, like, we weren't fucking demonizing cops. Like, it was beautiful. Dude, the cops in New York fucking
were heroes.
Oh, God was.
Dude, the cops in New York went to that fucking site. And they fucking went into this fucking crazy burning skyscrapers that were falling. And I mean, that's crazy. There's no way. There's no way I was going to work that day if I was a cop. There's no way.
Yeah. Cops were heroes then.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, so look, a lot of those cops are still on the fucking force today. You know what I'm saying? A lot of those cops, some fucking, how do you just say every cop is a piece of shit? Every cop, I know there's systemic issues, but how do you say all of them? Even the guys who fucking ran down during 9/11 and died fucking trying to, they didn't even know what they were doing. There was no plan. They were running into a building for nothing. They didn't even know what the fuck they were going to.
Yeah, it's a good point.
So how do you demonize every one of them? Every single one of them?
It is difficult, but isn't it similar to like Joe Paterno and Sandusky? Like, if you turn your head to what you know, if you turn a blind eye to something you know is wrong and is happening, because these cops all protect each other. You know, there was the one guy kneeling on George Floyd's neck. There were three other watching.
Yes.
So when you turn a blind eye to that, aren't you also implicated in this violence? Or if you show up to work and put that badge on and you know your coworkers are doing this, which we've seen time, like, it's insane. Some of these videos, the punching handcuffed people in the back of the head.
The good people tend to not call out the shitty people because they're too busy doing a good job.
They would get hazed and abused and turned on by their own people.
We're not cops, so we're not held to that same standard. I know some shitty fucking people have done some shitty things. I'm not a rat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know,
they should be held to higher standards than us.
They should.
Because they're our protectors.
I don't know this, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just completely ignorant. Okay, but I've been arrested a dozen times at least. Okay, I've been in cuffs, been through the New York City system. So I can speak to New York City for the most part. I can't speak to cops in many other cities or countries for that matter. For the most part, they were just dudes. They weren't fucking super abusive. I wasn't mouthy. I wasn't fucking giving them shit. But for the most part, they were just fucking dudes who were trying to get home to work. Most of them, I'd make laugh. We'd start talking shit. You're in the paddy wagon with them for 4 or 5 hours. Most of the time, you just sort of talk shit. Like, yeah, don't be an idiot. Now you'd get some other guys that were fucking really aggressive. And like, yeah, fuck you, pig. They've been through the process. They know what's going on. They're really bitter. And the cops are kind of shitty to them.
Yeah.
Now, if one of those guys kicked one of those cops, I don't know, dude. I could see one of those cops punching him in the back of the head while he was cuffed. And I got to be honest with you, I could see myself doing the same fucking thing if some dude kicked me. You know, they're just guys and they're tough guys and they're not very fucking smart. I look at it the same way that I look at like a bad service at a restaurant. It is systemic. You have to go from the top down, right? You have to go from, if I go to a restaurant over and over again, it's bad service. I'm like, it's management for sure. Every single time. It's not that they're hiring bad waiters. They have bad management that they have no idea how to manage their fucking people. Okay.
Are you comparing the murder of a man to like a waitress forgetting your fries?
Yeah.
That what this analogy is?
Look, I understand what happened to Floyd. I've been doing Applebee's. I get it. Same thing. My fries were cold at Applebee's.
If they abused bad customers, you would be dead in front of a Bob's Big Boy right now.
Just the hostess sitting on my head waiting for backup.
No, Bob. The actual Bob's Big Boy would be on top, flipped over and on top of your corpse.
Lewis is still trying to eat his cappellini at a Cheesecake Factory while they're choking him out.
Dougie, I'm just saying, like, it's not, no, I'm obviously not comparing that. What I'm saying is I'm comparing the system, right? And I'm comparing the issues. And I, to be honest with you, I don't know that a police station is run much better than a good restaurant. I have no idea. Like, I'm saying, like, a good
Gomez
restaurant might
party
be.
Party of one. Gomez
both places party keep of all one. The Mexicans in the back.
But do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
This is not that crazy. This is not that crazy of an analogy here, okay? And I think that it comes from, you know, maybe I'm ignorant, but I personally, in the dozen times that I've been arrested, I've never seen cops being crazy. I've just never seen them being like really overly violent. I've seen them be aggressive. I've seen them be dicks. They sort of have this attitude.
You didn't physically attack a cop. You weren't blatantly breaking into a store and you weren't part of a riot or a protest. Where these guys feel fear too, you know what I mean?
But I'm not talking about a riot or a protest. So here's the thing. It's not. I think when they're talking about like young innocent black men being killed in this country, more often than not, I think what happens is that young innocent black man has committed a crime and he's resisting arrest, and then it escalates to a point where the cops abuse their power so much where they, you know, kill this guy. I think that's what happens most of the time. Once in a blue, you know, you get a crazy murderer that becomes a cop and gets to the point where he gets that guy and finally does it, and he does it on camera. I just don't know how often that scenario is happening, where it's like a murderous, like he's a serial killer and he's just regularly killing young black people. You know, I don't really see that happening too often. But
look at this. So not to keep bringing the same guy up, this guy that killed George Floyd, he had 10 complaints on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but let me
how many is too many for them to go, dude, you either stop or you can't fucking be out in the street anymore.
I agree completely. Fuck that guy. By the way, this guy should go to jail. But here's the
system that allowed him out is what needs to change. The system that lets him on the street still being a cop is what needs to change.
Yeah. Completely. And he shouldn't be able to host Cash Cab anymore. I think they should pull Cash Cab from him.
Do we know that there was all complaints by black people against him, or was it?
No, I think he was just crazy. He was just crazy rough.
Well, that's like, my point, though. It's like, what if it was all white people that he was abusing, and now it's become this thing where it's like, you know, it's a race thing where it's just a fucking shit cop thing. It's not necessarily a white cop killing black men thing. You know, look, it's fucking. I don't want to make the whole show this and make it depressing and boring, you know, because we fucking talked about this shit ad nauseum, right?
And you've done that with so many other shows.
Yeah, it's every fucking show that's out there now. I just think that there are. I just don't believe that. Maybe I'm crazy. I just don't believe that cops are cold-bloodedly killing people. Just being like, you know, we got a black kid, bring him back here. Let's fucking kill him. That story, that narrative, should also go away, right? So the system needs to change, and there's a lot of fucked up shit that happens, but it's also like, guys, I'm telling my son, if you ever deal with a cop, put the cuffs on, don't fight, don't argue, don't complain. There's a chance you can fucking get killed there. I don't know why that narrative also shouldn't be said to anybody, not black, not Hispanic, but anybody that gets arrested by a cop. If you start fighting that cop, you're gonna get your fucking ass beat and you might get killed. And that is just the absolute truth. And I don't know why that's a racist thing to say or that's shitty to say.
Because, and here's the argument from their side, it happens so often in that community that even if they behave when they're being arrested, it still happens, and video evidence that makes that community angrier. And if you want to be like absolutely anti that, be like, well, look at the numbers, more white people are killed than black people, blah blah blah, it's an ongoing argument. It's not going to solve the problem. I think you're right.
I'm not saying that either. Like, I don't give a fuck, more white guys are killed, who cares? Sure. I'm just saying, I don't know how often it is a black person completely complying, just saying, yeah, all right, take me on. Yeah, you got me. And that person's getting killed. I don't think that's happening, very often, if not ever. I mean, I just don't see that happening. That's not the way life works. You know?
I don't know, Lou. I think what you said was really scary, because when we were kids, they said, if you're in trouble, call a policeman. The policemen are here to protect you. And now you're talking about telling your son, if a policeman tells you to do something, say, do everything he says to do, whether he's right or wrong, because he might kill you.
Yes.
It has changed. That sucks. The police.
That fucking sucks, dude.
That sucks. But I mean, that's the reality. I mean, why is that? That's not racist or
no, it's not racist, but it's why people are in the streets doing this shit.
If there's a lightning storm, James, don't go outside and fucking point a golf club at the sky.
Right.
It's just sort of like, what do you want me to say? That is just the harsh fucking reality. And
that's the reality.
And it's gotten better in 2020 than it was when I was my son's age 30 years ago. But it's not completely fixed yet. And I think you're right. I think there's systemic issues. You have to hold the people at the top accountable and it will flow down. I think you hold the sergeants, the people, the chiefs, all the people that are in charge at the top, you have to hold them accountable as well. So if a waiter at fucking Applebee's, let's go back to the waiter analogy, okay?
Shoots you.
If a waiter at Applebee's shoots me, guess what? Everyone's fucking held accountable. That fucking restaurant's held accountable. I sue that fucking restaurant. Or I shouldn't say shoots me, but let's say a waiter at Applebee's punches me in the fucking face and he doesn't get fired. I'm suing him. I'm suing the manager. We go after everybody. If that waiter doesn't get fired for punching me in the face, whoever owns the Applebee's would come in and they would fire that manager as well. They would also.
Your Honor, my client has settled for a lifetime supply of anytizers.
I like boneless wings the best.
All right, let's fuck
gluten-free, carb-free, bro. Keto.
Yeah.
By the way, Aaron's neighbor just waved to the camera. Okay. I don't know if you guys saw it.
He came out.
It's Josh.
He hit a ruckus.
You're on the Real Ass Podcast, Josh. That's on Gas Digital Network.
What do you think of the blacks?
Yeah.
Josh.
He's gone. I thought he had the answers.
Ran down the street.
He just heard blacks.
I'm going to say that all the NYPD guys that I know are like stand-up dudes. They're hard-working blue-collar guys, and that's all I know of those guys. But I guarantee you, there's bad ones. I talked to a firefighter friend of ours today. He said he went in and had to fight a blaze by himself because he was at some new ladder, and he's like, and there's shitty firefighters too. So it does happen at every job. But I think Zach's right. When it's at a higher level, that they should be protecting society, there should be more standards in place.
Hey, guys, really quickly, just want to thank YoKratom.com for sponsoring today's show. They're so awesome. Okay, love YoKratom. Those guys are big fans of this show. They're big fans of comedy. They support this podcast, a bunch of podcasts here on Gas Digital. They're the sole sponsors of the fucking Real Ass Dude animated series, which is so cool of them. They're also the marquee sponsor for Skankfest in Houston. Go support Yo Kratom. If you're buying Kratom, you're over the age of 21 years old, Yo Kratom is the place to get it. You don't have to go to the gas station or your local smoke shop and go out and deal with all the riots and the chaos and COVID-19. Do it online at YoKratom.com. They're home of the $60 kilo. And go support them. YoKratom.com. All right, where were we? Let's move on. So,
can you please show me the video of the white girl kneeling? Can you find that, please?
We have to move on. I don't want to spend the whole show. We spent literally half the show fucking talking about this shit. It's very serious.
You been having sex? Did you have sex recently?
Me? I always have sex. I crush it. I'm crushing pussy all day long, doggy.
Nice, good man.
What's your technique, Colin? Talk to us about your technique with pussy. What do you do?
Fuck me girlfriend while thinking about her sister. The classic. That's my technique.
I'm not allowed to do that anymore. I can't. No? I used to close my eyes. My wife doesn't let me close my eyes anymore.
Don't you fucking hate that? There's nothing less hot than when a girl says, come on, look at me.
No, I look you in the eyes when we make love.
Here, you know what you do though? Aaron, I've learned a trick. Okay. Yeah.
Lewis and Aaron can both just paint open eyes like right here and keep their heads down.
Fake eyeglasses on the ones that make it look like your eyes are open.
Oh, like when Homer fell asleep in Jury Duty.
Dude, no, here's what you do, okay? All you have to do, do you remember the magic eye books where you like see sailboats? Mm-hmm. Look at,
so you, yeah, look through the, you look through, you look them
through her.
Yeah, yeah, I get you.
You have to train your eyes to just sort of like, and you could actually see women that you want to fuck if you let your eyes relax enough, like they'll sort, yeah, of morph into the women that you actually want to have sex with.
It's all a bunch of triangles, but you really see a mermaid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. That's, so that's what hilarious. I do. Yeah. I, you know, I will have sex. I think it's damn near impossible to just think about this shit. If it's a new girl, this is the problem. It's got to always be a new girl. But I'd say by sex session number 8,
you're done.
My mind's wandering a little bit.
Yeah.
You're thinking of girls that you weren't thinking of when you were fucking them.
You know what I do? Can I tell you what I do? I think of like, I'll go through like other women that I have fucked in the past. Oh man, if any chick that fucks me listens to this, they're going to be really upset. I'm just kidding. These are all jokes. So what I do is I'll think of other women that I fucked in the past, but I like,
but then you can't think of a gross one and lose your heart on. So it's like pressure luck. You're doing the no whammies.
No, what I do is I come up with themes. Like my mind, I'll come up with this. So I'll go like comedy club waitress, and then I'll start thinking of different comedy club waitresses that I fucked, or female, mm-hmm, comedians, or black chicks, or fucking Asian chicks. And then I have themes, and then I'll rotate them like in my head. I'm fucked, dude. I'm a twisted individual. You guys have to understand, in order to get me going, it's a lot.
I remember I used to, like, I would bang women I didn't want to bang, but then the whole time you're just thinking of somebody that you want to be banging. You'd be like, no, from behind. So then your mind could go more and you wouldn't have to look, yeah, at them and stuff like that.
For sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of techniques, I think.
How long have you been with your girlfriend, Colin? Also, what is that noise, Aaron? What is it? I'm listening way too much.
Sorry. This is.
He's under a bird's nest. He don't know, yeah, what's going on.
Fucking,
the camera's shaking.
Chicks
like
yapping to the neighbor. You're going to fucking listen to birds chirping.
The camera's shaking like he's fucking on a motorbike.
He's a fucking professional podcaster. Jesus Christ. Right. Let's see. In the chat, Juicebox says, do women like vocal male during sex? Do late women like a guy to be vocal? What do you mean by vocal, though? Like just like, yeah, oh yeah, baby, yeah, oh, like that.
What, or do you want? Just moans,
talking dirty, ladies. You want the talking dirty, kind of both. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't want a conversation. At
neither
all.
Do we. Before or after either.
I'm not super vocal. If I'm going to be vocal, I like to call the girl dirty names. Like, I like to give her a little smack in the face, make you a little fucking slut. And I did that once to a girl. She's like, I'm not a slut. I'm like, whoops. We should have talked about that first.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Looks like you are.
I'm not a slut. You are now, once I tell everybody what we did.
Like, we're in the bathroom of a comedy club. Are you sure?
I did that once. I called a girl a whore, and she was, don't call me a whore. I was like, all right.
Well, I'm thinking it, just so you know.
Yeah.
Have you ever fucked a chick that was drunk and then fucked her sober another time, and her, what she wanted you to say and do were very, very different?
Yeah, the first time she said no.
I had a girl that wanted
to do was leave the room.
I had a girl that wanted to call me daddy the whole time when she was drunk, and then we fucked after, like, she was sober. Like, another time it was just during the day and she wasn't drunk, and I started to do that kind of shit, and she was like, why the fuck would you think I would like that? Nice. And I was like, you loved it last. And she's like, what are you talking like? I was like, oh boy. Okay. Someone doesn't know what's unleashed.
You fucking,
yeah, see, that's only a problem with that girl. That's like, okay.
Like, did you just tell everyone you raped the girl?
Turning into the Brad Williams episode. Here.
Blackout drunk is not rape. Can I say this right now? Blackout drunk is only rape if the girl considers it rape after the fact. It's only rape if she calls rape on it. Otherwise, she's like, we fucked. It was awesome last night.
Yeah, it's only cheating if you get caught. I know, Lewis. That's a great philosophy. It's only rape.
It's true.
It's only rape if they report it. Yeah, for sure. Hell yeah, Lewis.
They report it. It's really whatever they feel. To be honest with you, in this day and age, in 2020, any sort of sex can be rape if the girl really wants to angle it that way. You got to really trust a bitch these days.
Yeah, right. If you work hard enough.
Yeah, you need written permission. After this, after the, well, COVID's not a thing anymore, but after people start fucking again, after that first like spike of fucking, then like the Me Too shit will come back. Like, I had been so lonely for 4 months and I met a guy online and we went out and I was so excited that I had sex with him, and then I realized that's not what I wanted. I'd been locked up for 4 months and I wasn't thinking straight, and it was post-COVID rape. That's going to be a term.
Real question. Do you think a girl can try and out a guy for giving her COVID?
For sure. For sure. He told
me after they fuck.
He told me he was quarantining, and then afterwards I realized he was sleeping with 5 other women at the same
time. He gave me a fake antibody test.
Yeah, they can't. I mean, that's just like a sickness. That's fine. It's like the herpy derps.
I watched some of Wendy Starling's herpy derps, movie.
That's a whole thing.
Well, what happened to
herpy derps?
Usher spread the herpy derps.
Isn't it a crime, like, if you give a girl herpes?
Usher had it, and they were like, yo, do you have herpy derps? And he was like, nah.
No way. What are you kidding?
Yeah, 100%.
What is herpes? Oh, like, no, I thought I had himpies. I apologize, the male version.
Vapies.
Yeah,
the new politically correct.
Oh, you use the slang. Yeah, you use the street slang for it. I need the full scientific name.
That's fucking disgusting. Dude, my wife and I fuck on our nanny's bed. Our nanny's gone now, so we just fuck on the nanny's bed all the time. That's our fuck spot. Yeah, it's hot.
I love it.
And then we tell the nanny we did it too, and she goes, "Y'all can just flip the mattress if you want."
Your nanny's Nate Bargatze?
No, she's Courtney is her name. She's from the south. She went down to Florida to flee all this. You're not going to leave, right? You're going to stay here.
Well, I'm thinking I'm going to go to Westchester. I think I'm moving to Westchester.
Why don't you move to Tennessee and start a podcast with Nate Bargatze? You can buy.
Nate wants to really associate himself with my brand. It's sort of a problem.
I put a cross on. It's weird.
It's okay.
Are you going to buy a house, Lou?
Not yet. I'm not ready to buy a house yet. Maybe another year or two before I buy. I'm going to rent a house, get a nice big place, backyard. Maybe get sport back from my fucking son's mother.
Yeah. What about coming into the city every day? Or you don't think that's going to happen for a while?
What about coming into your wife every day? Fuck yeah, doggy. Shannon, give me a drop. I'm on the board, finally. First joke of the show, by the way.
She's pretty good.
It's fucking solid right there.
Man, I got to go outside and yell at my neighbor.
Yeah, why? What happens?
Nothing.
Do it on the show. You go yell.
When do we get back to stand-up? This is the fucking... I had a show booked in Atlantic City on Saturday. Now they canceled it because of the riots. I've done one show on the back of a truck in Queens, drive-in comedy.
Do some plugs real quick, actually, because I have to plug a show. So good timing, Ehrenberg. Ehrenberg, what do you want to plug, my brother?
All right, check out my documentary, 25 Sets on Amazon. If you didn't see it on Gas Digital this past weekend, it was fire. My album, American Etiquette, is everywhere you can get albums right now. And I'll hopefully be back doing stand-up somewhere, somehow. As soon as places are open, I will be getting there.
Hell yeah. Call them
in hot water, Monday to Thursday. Gum Fridays on Patreon. Check it out. It's the Friday vision of In Hot Water. It's fucking hilarious. Better guests, better time. Peace.
Call them Terrell.
Nice. Yeah, I just started a new podcast called The Wizard of Pod. That's available everywhere. And then I've got my other podcast with Jordan Raybould, which is called Big Dogs. So go check that out if you haven't already.
Very cool. Zach Amico.
Instagram, Zach is not funny. Check out my horror movie show, Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show, every Friday at midnight here on the Gas Digital Network, and Catalyst Wrestling every Saturday morning at 11 a.m.
Hell yeah, guys. You know what's going on. Gas Digital, we're crushing it. 22 of the best podcasts in the world. Just added Joe DeRosa, Corinne Fisher's Without a Country, which is such a great show. If you guys want to hear, like, if you like the political shit and you don't want it on one side or the other, it's the best way to hear it. Joe and Corinne are fucking awesome. They do the show every week here on Gas Digital. We're giving away 14-day free trial. Use the promo code RAP. 14-day free trial. You get access to the entire on-demand library for every single Gas Digital show. The latest 15 episodes are on iTunes and YouTube and everywhere else. But if you guys want everything we've ever done for all the shows, Legion of Skanks, Real Ass Podcast, Believe You Me, Zach Nichols, Midnight Spook Show, 22 Incredible Shows, use that promo code to get access to everything. You get pre-release on all of our episodes, ad-free episodes, uncensored, and also the live chat, which is my favorite part of the entire experience at Gas Digital. Go be a part of the live chat there. Listen to me, There's a couple Nazis in there. If you guys want to fucking argue with Nazis, like real deal Nazis, like Jew killing propagandists, they're there. You get some fucking, there's one guy who's like a Black Lives Matter guy who says he's trying to take down everything. I don't know if he's just trolling everybody, but that's another guy that's in the chat. He's fucking great. He's listening right now. He's telling me he's going to try to take me. He's trying to cancel me. I love that guy. Yeah, Mike. Thank you, Hand Banana. There's a bunch of personalities in the chat. It's a whole world. Everyone right now is going, yeah, that's Mike. Mike knows what's going on. Mike's cool. He doesn't want to take me down. Shut up, Mike. He's cool. So go support. Make sure you guys use that promo code RAP. And I will be doing a couple live shows. Number one, I'll be in Phoenix, Arizona, myself, Kurt Metzger. One night only, June 25th, Thursday night. I'm also driving to California from Phoenix. So I'm probably looking for a gig that Friday night in between Phoenix and Los Angeles. I don't know. You know what? Shannon, pull up a map. We're going to talk about this right now. We're going to find another fucking gig, another city on the way from Phoenix to Los Angeles. I don't give a fuck. Baby boy, that's happening. That is happening. June 25th, Thursday night, one night only, Stand Up Live, Phoenix, Arizona. I've never been to Arizona. I've never been to Stand Up Live. We only have to sell half capacity in order to sell it out. Do not embarrass us. Let's do it. All right. I was waiting for something else to happen. I'm the host. Fuck. Damn it. I always forget that I'm the host, Aaron.
Why?
I don't know. It just happens.
I got to get down south. I got to get to Florida. I got to get to Texas. I got to get back in clubs and play. It's going to be so fun.
Let's do a show, Aaron. Why don't we do a co-headlining piece right now? What about Connecticut? What about Rhode Island? I think Rhode Island's pretty open, right?
Is Connecticut open?
Berg, do you have a car?
Yeah.
Why don't we just do a fucking gig, whatever, within a couple hours drive. Remember when we went on the road back in the day?
Yeah.
You fucked that pig from Craigslist?
Yes, I remember that.
Ah, that was when I became friends with Aaron Berg. I was like, this guy rules.
Yeah.
He's a little muscly guy. He's like, yeah, I met this pig on Craigslist. She's disgusting. I was like, really? But like, yeah, oh my gosh, she can barely fit in the car. I gotta go get a dick pill from a gas station.
Yeah.
Help me. And I was like, yeah, let's find dick pills. And we went around trying to find dick pills at gas stations. And yeah, he went and fucked some fucking sweaty pig in the car.
So big. Yeah, let's do that. Let's go. I'll go to Rhode Island. Line something up. Me and you.
It was Zach. That's how we met Zach.
Yeah. On Craigslist, casual encounters.
Look, I love
Lewis, let's take this girl back to New York with us. That drive was like fucking 8 or 9 hours. And
Where were we?
Fucking Pittsburgh. Outside of Pittsburgh. That was not worth it.
No, not at all. That back in the day, we would do these gigs. Like, Aaron, you were headlining. I don't even know, but if I had to guess, you made $500. I made like $100 featuring.
Yeah,
it was a fucking nightmare. It was a nightmare.
It was so bad.
But that was it. That's why this is with everything you do in the beginning. If you're doing it just for the fucking love of the game, that is absolutely the best way to do it, right? And
yeah,
comedy. It's this is what was beautiful about comedy, and this is why comedians don't respect like fucking, you know, YouTube stars who start doing comedy and people who sort of jump in line, because like you have to pay those dues, and it sucks so much for minimum 5 years if you're lucky, 10 years on average. It sucks. You don't even know if you can make it in this business. You have to invest everything for a decade, all of your friends, your entire social life. You're going out, you're doing open mics, you're like, what am I even fucking doing? And then a decade in, you're like, holy shit, I'm never going to make it in this career. And you have nothing else. And you've given up your 20s.
Yeah.
That's a fucking investment. That is an investment, and it sucks, and it should suck. You have to eat that shit. And that's why when you hear comedians sort of put other comedians on a pedestal and we sort of suck our own dicks, it's because we all sort of went through that process. And you see other guys who jump in line and you go, yeah, dude, fuck you. You did not eat shit like that. And it's not about a jealousness or bitter, because nobody's jealous of the guys who make it. Like, I see somebody, even somebody who gets fast-tracked, like a Pete Davidson or a Michael Che, and a fast-tracked is a strong word for Che, because I think he was doing it a little bit longer than people think he was doing it, but I think Che was doing it for like 6-7 years before he like hit it very, very big. That's fucking fast, okay? I'm not going like, damn, man, I wish that was me, fuck. No, I'm like, that's awesome, dude. He fucking put in some time, and he's talented and really likable. He's also really likable. Dude, you end up rooting for those guys because they're so likable. The reason those guys make it, you're like, I like that guy. I'm rooting for him. And then everyone in the industry is rooting for them as well. I don't know why I got on that rant, but fucking.
Yeah, because it was about paying dues, and now it's many ways to skip that, you know? I'm a Muslim lesbian married to a Jewish lady lawyer. You know who that is specifically. And it's like,
no,
and I watched them going off on Twitter today. Kumia was dragging those bitches through the mud. But it's the fucking, you get all these little token things thrown at you. They've never put the grind in. They never did the work. And then the industry will reward them. And, you know, it's starting to come back around. Like, you look at Comedy Central, they started going back to comedy when they're putting on, like, Sam Morrell and Mark Norman.
Well, that network's like, gone. They're YouTube now. Dude, yeah, it's like, that whole network is fucking gone.
And they deserve to be gone. They abandoned real stand-up, and they go, let's go with woke bullshit. And it all fell apart because they were doing their specials were like bar shows with comics doing 7 minutes. And it was all like Trump bashing and I'm a lesbian. I eat pussy, but I had a dick once. So it turned into that, and good for them.
Good for them.
Good for them for falling the fuck apart. And remember how big of a thing Comedy Central used to be? It used to be, that was every comic's goal, was you get Comedy Central, then you go after HBO. And, it's good that it fell apart. I mean, there's people, guys like you, guys like Schultz, that were able to dismantle the system and prove you don't need that system anymore. And it's so much more freeing. You wouldn't be able to do this if you were trying to get on Comedy Central 10 years ago and you were to do your podcast and some of the shit that you do, you wouldn't do it. You'd have to make a choice. Do I want to go my own way or do I want to try and have this traditional type career? Now you can get more success by doing the shit that we do. Than the people that are industry heavy. Yeah. Well,
that's the other thing, is what's beautiful is the internet has become the great equalizer. Not in that just that you can put content up. It's just that there's no more middleman, right? So really what Comedy Central was, what television was, what the industry was a middleman between us and them. Now they need us to get to them. Right. So now Comedy Central looks at the podcasters and people that create followings for themselves and they go, shit, dude, we want to come to you. Have a podcast. We would love to give you a TV show so you could bring that audience over to our network. Now, back in the day, the audience would gift you your fucking fame, or I'm sorry, the network would gift you your fame. Doing all of these television shows, that's where people went for the next fucking celebrity, versus it was a fight, but it was funny, original, real shit being just showing up in your timeline over and over and over again. And eventually television and that sort of, for comedy anyway, lost that fight. What I think is really cool is that comedy, I think once this is all said and done, the clubs will open back up and stand-up comedy, I think in a very big way, will come back in the clubs. The live show will come back in a very, very big way. And I think the future of comedy will simply be in the clubs. It shouldn't be televised. It shouldn't be taped. It should be the same way when you, like, nobody's fucking putting jazz music on the radio right now, unless you go to an old timey AM jazz station.
Oh, they'll protest them.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, you're 100% right.
They're looting.
Right. Hey, Sammy Coltrane, we'd love to get you to cut a new record. I can't! No justice, no peace!
I got a 65-inch television to go. So, yeah, it's like, I think the future will be comedians in clubs doing what we do in a fucking dirty way. Like, I'm from now on, moving forward, like, I'm putting on all the posters, you know, adult only, you know, you have to almost fuck it. And I think that's a part of marketing it as well. But that will sort of be where comedy should go. Because to be honest with you, it sort of lacks on television. Nobody's putting it on TV. And now it's all going to YouTube. So it's like, I don't know if there's a viable business model just to throw out the show, the stand-up on YouTube. I think the putting out clips and trying to get people to come see you live, that's important. But I think people will come see you live if you got a good podcast, you know?
Now, do you think, though, that, like, the clubs will be, after this, a little more mainstream and some bar shows or other things will be more like speakeasies where it's almost like there's a second level to what we do? Where you go to these places that are kind of like pre-approved spots where you know you can hear fucked up stuff?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because I see that as a very viable feat. Because you already hear about rooms where, you know, you're like, oh, this place rules. They don't care. You know, they're up for anything. You know, you can get super dirty here. You can get super racial here. As opposed to some rooms where you're like, oh, look out. There's a college town.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be hard to say racial jokes in just a general showcase setting, unless you're a fucking killer. Like Aaron Burr can, Big J can. You know, there's certain guys that are going to be able to do it still, but it is a fucking, it is a tough battle. People aren't used to hearing those types of jokes, so it becomes shocking to them. And unless you are really skilled at delivering that type of humor, you know, Big J says the craziest shit, some of the dirtiest shit in the world, but it's because it's this big, lovable teddy bear. He kind of sits there and he giggles at it like he doesn't, you know. Aaron Berg, when he goes up on stage and says the shit, he's saying it's a fucking sheer force of energy. You have to punch that audience in the fucking face to fucking get them to pay and to forget. You hit them so hard they let their guard down where they go like, oh shit, I'm not supposed to laugh at this. You hit them that fast. If you watch Aaron's type of comedy, he's like a fucking tornado and he just starts hitting with punch, 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 punch. And then they're laughing. And then before they can remember that they're supposed to be triggered or not laughing, they're laughing at the next punchline already. But it's a fucking pace. And I watched you, Aaron, when you were trying to do the late night and you're preparing for late night and you were doing a way more measured version of what you do. And it was just not what you do at all. It's that side of it. You doing late night watching it. I remember because I was trying to do a late night tape at the same time as you. We were both like, so I was watching you doing, you were watching.
Yeah.
And it just sort of, I was like, you know what? I remember watching being like, I was like, Aaron Berg is not supposed to do late night like that. I was like, that's not what he does. What a shame it would be for America to see you that way and to see you doing a fucking 10% version of yourself. And it sort of made me go like, yeah, that's not very fair. I'm not going to do this anymore. I just stopped sending in those fucking tapes.
Yeah, I did the exact same thing because you're just like, okay, this isn't the way that I'm going to go. I'm going to go my own way. But it's also like, it's going to be scary to get back because we're going to be rusty, you know, going back. Like I was excited. I was supposed to go on stage at this outdoor show at Stand Up New York. And I'm like, oh, I got this. I got a George Floyd joke. I got to try it out. And it's like 2 days after. And you're like, I know I shouldn't be doing it, but let's fucking do it. No, I didn't get to go on. The cops came and broke up the show before I went on. But I was like, George Floyd.
They hate George Floyd that much. They're like, yo, did they say George Floyd? Get him off stage.
I go, George Floyd, say his name. We say it around my house all the time so much. I call my dick George Floyd now. Because anytime someone's on it for 9 minutes, it goes limp immediately after.
Not bad.
It's horrible.
Fucking tanked. It would have tanked so hard.
It would have tanked so bad.
It was a fucking outdoor drive-in show. People started honking their horns.
Someone's kneeling on my neck like right away.
Oh, fuck me.
That's okay. Remember 2 weeks ago you would have thought it was COVID. Now you're just like, it's a fucking joint. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Dude. Isn't that great? COVID's over.
It's over. I went to Stand Up New York for this outdoor show. No one's wearing masks. We're all just hanging out. We're at least elbow bumping now. You know, people are back to elbow bumping.
You can always tell somebody that's going to vote for Trump because they just give you a full handshake, look you right in the eyes.
Hits you deeply.
Yeah, dude, they fucking, hello.
Hi, welcome to Faggots for Trump. I want to see that so bad behind him, a sign, Faggots for Trump. Like the sellouts that are like the blacks for Trump. Instead, you got the Faggots for Trump right behind him. I got my faggots here, my MAGA faggots, the FAGA maggots.
It's tough. Some people just, they dart in for the handshake. And then you're sort of like, well, I'm not going to pull out. There's no way I'm fucking saying no. So you're just like, yo, yeah, fuck it. Give me that. Give me that.
I haven't shook anyone's hand in fucking ages. No. But I'm getting close to people. And like, I'll invite people over to the house and we'll smoke cigars out front. We'll be like 6 feet apart, but we're not really. Gino Bisconti came over. I touched his hand accidentally. Guy's been riding the subway the whole fucking time.
He lives on the subway.
Guy doesn't give a shit. He's fucking...
6 hours of him cleaned.
The fucking mole person.
Yeah, Gino's asking people if he can finish their lunch. Like, Gino, chill the fuck out.
Did you see the video of the people fucking on the subway platform?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Oh, yes, I did.
Lewis, you'll love this. Please, you will fucking love it.
Pull it the fuck up.
I saw it like yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, also people in the chat right now wondering about Skankfest. Skankfest South is happening September 25th to 27th, Houston, motherfucking Texas. It's the best time of your life. Kickoff party on the 24th. Tickets will be on sale again very soon. I know people are freaking out about, like, when are tickets going back on sale? We just want to let the smoke clear a little bit, guys. We also didn't realize race riots all over the world. just, we don't, God forbid we have to move the date again. We do not, it was a pain in the ass. I think people were like, they think it's just like, oh, cool, whatever. We'll just fucking, you know, move the date. To move a fucking entire festival with 100 comedians, with 1,500 people coming as guests per day, with fucking the amount of police, we have to like, you understand, it's permits, outdoor permits, stage, sound, police set up to be on premises, ambulance set up to be on premises. There's so much that goes into it, right? To have to issue refunds again, because we had to issue a bunch of refunds for people that couldn't make it and couldn't change their trips. It's a fucking ton of work and a ton of resources. We don't want to do that again. So we are, what is it? Right now it's the end of, or it's the beginning of
June.
So we'll say the end of June, July, August, September. So we are 4 months away. I promise you within 1 month, unquestionably, the tickets will be back on sale. Probably much less than that. Probably 2 weeks. So we have 4 months. Relax, guys. There's plenty of time. Okay.
You need to rebook that new and nasty show, dude. The new and nasty.
Why?
It's just a stinker of a lineup, bro. Stinker. You're making money. It's political bookings from the West Coast, and I don't like it, Lewis. The average age is 45 years old too. It's fucking new and nasty. New and nasty. They're coming on.
No, new and nasty. Bobby Kelly.
I would like to say Lewis is so progressive that he booked Fifi Dash when it was Joe Dash.
Yeah. That is true. Why wouldn't it?
That's how far ahead Lewis is of the times. Yeah. He was like, I'm going to book this broad that doesn't know she's abroad yet.
I have no idea.
Maybe you think the people are too old on
New and Nasty. Everyone's fucking 38 or 40. They're all gray haired and shit. What are you? Should be the old and ugly fucking.
With Russ Manee, Joe Matter Reese.
Bobby Slayton.
New and Nasty.
The New and Nasty Show.
Miss Pat.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Hosted by Andrew Dice Clay. New and Nasty.
Tomorrow's stars at Skankfest.
I've changed location 3 times. I'm having issues. I was out back. My neighbor came, my wife came, then I went inside. Now I'm out front. I should be good out here.
Aaron, we're not trying to buy your home. Stop giving us every fucking angle.
If you guys like podcasting, there's 3 different areas in the house where you can podcast from.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah, Skankfest is going to be a ton of fun. I really can't wait. Well, were we just pulling up a video?
Yeah, I'm trying to
find fucking on the subway.
I can only find a still image of it. I can't find the video.
Oh, here's a still image.
And show you the still image, yeah.
Love to see it.
Well, the video, Lewis, the guy starts eating the pussy halfway through.
Fucking stereotype destroyer.
I've literally been there before.
What station is it, Lou?
That's
Flushing. It says.
Flushing. Yeah, I've definitely fucked on a subway platform before.
Oh, yeah?
He didn't say which one he was, but he's been in that position before.
Yeah, me and Lewis had a friend named Oni Perez, and he once pissed on a subway platform, and then he got a ticket by a cop.
I've also done that. Got a ticket. Nice. I would go, when I wanted to pee, I would go all the way to the end of the platform and then go behind the illegal part and pee there. And I got a ticket once doing that. The cop's like, what the fuck are you doing? It's like 2002, like months after 9/11. The fuck are you doing back there? I'm like, I'm peeing. They're like, get the fuck over here.
But there's nowhere to piss on the side. Like,
total gentleman.
Yeah.
There is literally nowhere to piss in New York City after 10 o'clock. Yeah. Much less on the subway.
I'm going to say, though, when I see people pissing in the streets, because this happens a lot in Harlem, is just during the daytime, you'll just see a fucking, you know, guy take his dick out and just piss in the street. It's always a white guy. Yeah. And... what I do is I'll yell at him. And even if I'm not with my son, I yell. Well, if I'm with my son, I don't yell because I don't want to fucking get murdered or
have James, look at that guy's dick.
Put your dick away. I'm with my son, you sick fuck.
But no, what I'll do is I get angry if I see them when I'm not with my son. I'm like, what are you doing? There's fucking kids around here.
Yeah.
And then they're homeless disgusting. And they're homeless and drunk. And they're like, I'm sorry, sir. I'm like, motherfucker.
I found the video if you want to see it.
Thanks.
Yeah, we do.
Yes. Let's go. This is it.
Oh, hell yeah, doggy. Get in there.
This is a different one than I watched.
Yeah. No, this is the one I saw yesterday.
He gave a middle finger?
No, I think he gave bull horns, is it?
Bull hub to me.
Get up in there, dude. It's Dave Smith.
You see everything.
It's fucking Dave Smith. That's how he made his child, right there, guys. It's actually a video.
We fucking came. This, I don't know where he get the fucking.
That's a subway worker. And he the worst part about this sentence.
Like this. Yeah,
good for this guy. Come on, bro. Zoom in, you fucking fool. You boomer. Learn how to use a fucking phone. Holy shit. All I want to do is fucking. That chick looked pretty hot, too.
Boomer. I was expecting it to turn around and be just a guy with a nice ass.
Yeah, she was a Subway Pussy 6.
Yeah.
Doggy, she was a Subway Pussy 10. Are you kidding me? Yeah. For Subway Pussy, do you know the chick that I fucked on the Subway platform? Oh, my God.
Oh, if she's a 6.
No, the hottest is the two girls that were sucking their boyfriend's dick on the train, and they were like ghetto Arab chicks.
Listen, the chick that I fucked on a Subway platform is likely dead from diabetes, a whole cocktail of fucking diseases for fat, gross women. Are you kidding me? That fucking animal? Oh, God, she's gross. Oh, I wish she's dead. I hope she's dead.
Oh, boy. Didn't end well?
She's just ugly.
No, dude. That was it. I remember another time I brought a really ugly girl home. This girl was so ugly. Holy shit, dude. This girl was fucking ugly. Really ugly. Like, she had pimples on her face and she had bad skin. Fucking, she had like what I would describe as a small afro. Like one of the, like a really short, but she was like half black. She was such a fucking gross animal. Oof. This bitch, I can't even believe I could stomach it. Thinking about it, I'm like, what the fuck? It's wrong with me. This is years ago when I was like a street kid. I was like, you know, living, you know, on different girls' couches, and I was selling comedy club tickets to get by. I was like 20 years old, you know.
The good old.
By the way, yeah, this girl's story isn't that good either.
What?
This girl,
yeah. Her side of the story is not.
Fuck some homeless guy for comedy club tickets. I hope he's
She's like,
dead.
What the fuck's wrong with me? His skin sucked. His hair was all gross.
There's an all-female fucking podcast somewhere. This girl is bringing you up, Lewis.
This bitch was nasty. I gotta be honest with you. But then on our way home, we got off the subway on my way to my apartment. And right before we got to my place, she's like, oh, you know what? I gotta tell you something. And then I was like, what? And she was like, never mind. And I was like, what? What do you mean, never mind? I was like, you gotta tell me. Like, what do you mean? There was something that was like on your mind. And then, yeah, she said that. And then I was like, you can tell me. And she wouldn't tell me. And let me tell you something, guys. I still went home with her and did the deed.
The whole time you're going, what the fuck?
What do you think she was going to tell you?
Up to, I'm a virgin or I have herpes.
I'm a child.
I'm a guy.
Do you know where my mother is?
Yeah. I'm retarded legally. This is a crime.
I can't find a wheelchair.
I think I know what it was because she left. She
was on her period.
I'll tell you, listen. So she did I tell you the story before? No.
No, but I can just, this is, yeah.
I think that's what it was because, so what I did was I lied to her because I went home and I fucked her and I lied to her, preemptively I lied to her and I told her that I had to go somewhere afterwards. It's like 11 or 12 o'clock at night and I just had to go out, like I'm a street kid. I had a meeting or something I had to go to. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I needed to get rid of her.
I gotta go to 3 a.m. mass.
She's so fucking gross, dude.
Well, we've got a big business meeting at midnight. It's very important. The shareholders are freaking out right now.
Our meeting was a major VCs, and...
Not sure if you've been following the Dow, but everybody down there at our agency is going bananas right now. Oh, it's a bull bear market.
So I walked her to the subway. And it's funny, I was supposed to be going back because she was like clinging on to me. She was like, oh yeah, I'll go back that way with you. And I remember, dude, I walked her back to the subway. I let her go through the turnstile. Then I went, oh shit, I forgot something at my apartment.
Classic. Yes.
Yeah, and she's just like a homeless gross chick as well. And she's on the other side of the subway. That's a whole, how do we get that $2 for the subway? So yeah, she left, and then I went back to my place, and I found in the bathroom garbage, not even a tampon, a fucking pad. But I'm thinking about it. It was like,
what was it like? What did it look like? Describe it.
It was yellow notebook paper with lines.
Couldn't afford that.
I had never opened it. I'd never written one single joke.
Yeah, it was a legal pad that said jokes, and she used it to plug up her fucking awful cunt.
She's like, this has never been used.
She stapled it to her belly skin. She just yanks it off when she's done with it.
Yeah, dude. So, no, I found a pad, and it was like just... It was used for a while to the point where like the blood had gone really dark on it. So I know this is like an old, like fucking septic.
It was the second time using it.
Dude, toxic, it was disgusting. I'm all right. Yeah, dude, this bitch was fucking nasty.
You got it in, bro. You got it in.
Nasty.
You got it in, bro. Doesn't matter.
Got it in, dude. Numbers.
Put numbers on the board.
I used to date Lauren Ash. She's on Superstore on NBC. She's like a bullish looking woman now. Very hefty, but she was always very funny. And she could not wipe her ass the whole way. So she would like, we did
use her size? Sex.
No, I mean, back then she was smaller. But it was just, her ass would always stink. So I'd be fucking a dog and you just stink ass.
Oh, that's and I was so like, disgusting.
And I go, your ass stinks a little bit. And we live together. And she, I'm not going to wipe it until it bleeds. And I was like, well, you should. Like, it smelled real. She just wouldn't finish wiping her ass. And now she's famous and rich.
What's her name?
Lauren Ash.
Lauren Ash.
More like Lauren Ass.
Dirty Ash.
Shit, there you go.
There she is. Look. Yeah.
That's it.
What do you have against this woman? Because you must hate her.
It's a stinky ass. Well,
no, I even after we broke up years later, we had a bad breakup, but we would still go to like each other's movie premieres and shit together. We'd be like, hey, I don't have a girlfriend. I don't have a boyfriend. Do you want to go out? And I'd go hang out with her. And she's very funny. She stopped following me like a couple of years ago on Twitter, I think, after our fans allegedly gave rape threats to some fucking open micer. Yeah. She didn't like that. Yeah, she got all feministy on it. She's very woke now. She probably wouldn't talk to me.
She looks like she's about to fall asleep, to be honest.
Yeah, and also, fucking, I'm telling everybody your ass stinks. So why should you want to talk to me?
I dated a girl who she had armpit odor, like, but to the point where she always had armpit odor, like even after she showered.
Mm-hmm.
Like she just had stinky fucking armpits. I have no idea. I've never met a person in my life. In my life, that their armpits always stunk of stinky armpit, no matter what. Puts deodorant on, wipes it with soap. And I remember I dated her, like kind of serious. She was like a hippie sort of chick, almost like maybe it was just years of fucking just being a nasty fucking bitch. But I remember I took a shower with her one time. And we were like, fucking, I was just trying to be like passionate with her. And I remember,
me wash you.
Yes, dude.
And then you're just hardcore scrubbing her armpit. Yes. I got elbow grease going on.
I took a loofah. I put my foot on the wall behind me. It's like, fucking smelly bitch. What the fuck is wrong
this
with
is
you?
So romantic.
Your fucking armpits.
He's got a power washer.
Doggy, it was fucking nuts. I scrubbed her fucking pits. I scrubbed her pits. And we got out of the shower, and I was like, all right, there's no way they're going to smell now. I scraped off 3 layers of skin. I was using ocean life to clean her body, like just sharp ocean fucking animals.
Coral.
Sponges from the bottom of the ocean to clean this whale. And nothing.
No.
Nothing. Still stunk.
And then what'd she do? She just went back to a mosque or something?
Dude, I don't know, man. She just fucking, she...
Just a stinky white bitch.
It's a stinky white bitch, dude. Ham Banana says maybe it's her natural scent. Maybe her natural scent doesn't appeal to your body chemistry. I think it's a thing that I've read. No, 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 dude. There's no fucking way this bitch did not stink like shit to everybody she encountered. Impossible. That like, it's not like the blue. Do you see a blue dress or a yellow dress? No, it's not that shit, dude. This was a smelly fucking hippie bitch that had shitty armpits. I'm telling you. This is, you can't. I'm telling you. I know this. I wish we could find this bitch. I wish we could get her in on the podcast right now. No hair on the armpits, no nothing. You ever fuck a chick with hairy armpits?
Hell yeah.
I don't mind it.
I did too. And she was kind of sexy back then. It was like a turn on when you were younger because you'd never had it before.
Yeah, it was a little bit. I fucked one chick in, once again, public sex. I do a lot of public sex. Middle of winter, outdoors.
I watched you have sex in the back of Milano's once. You're fucking in there, bro. Yeah, I watched you banging the. I forget her name. She was a blonde girl, kind of jowly, but like, you know, like a strong seven. And she was sexy enough. Like after you were done fucking, I was thinking maybe I should go fuck her. Like she was that. Yeah.
Remember back in the day when we could just do that?
Well,
at like get a drink. It wasn't even a big deal. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. She had the time of her life. Imagine girls would get me drunk and run a train on me. It's my ultimate fantasy. It'll never happen. Women don't know how lucky they have it.
Yeah. I said earlier, I watched Wendy Starling's movie, and it's on Vimeo, and she tells a story about being gang raped in her movie. And it's appalling when you listen to it. Like, she hooks up with one guy, gets blackout drunk, and then she wakes up, and there's two guys fucking her. And she, like, tries to push the guy up, and the other guy's like, you're drunk. Shut up. Hold your arms. And it's, like, it's chilling to watch. It's chilling to watch. And, you know, Wendy's a smart, attractive woman to picture that, you know, for how many times you did that to women and then to hear the woman's side of it. It's really weird.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't need another man to fucking hold her down.
Yeah, because only two of you at a time fit in the bathroom stall of whatever comedy club you were at.
That is also true. That's also true. You know what I watched the other day? Just to see how brutal the rape scene was. I didn't watch the whole movie. I just wanted, because I remembered it, and I saw that it was on demand. But 1, 2, 3, 4, pound that pussy.
I declare a rape war. What?
The rape scene. You're talking about like a scene in a movie here? When you said rape scene, I thought you were like, you know, I was checking out the rape scene in Philadelphia. I'm thinking of moving to Jersey. I'm not going to check out the rape scene over there. Is there a good rape scene in Jersey?
Oh, you were saying, yeah, like the same way there's a hardcore scene like or a comedy scene. The rape scene.
What's the rape scene over in Jersey like? I don't want to bring James up to Westchester, but it's not a good rape scene. It used to be great. A lot of liberals got involved these days. It's just,
you know? They killed the rape scene in Brooklyn.
Dude, that's why we give so much respect to these senior guys.
The rape scene in the 90s was fucking bumping, dude.
Guys, these days they don't pay their dues anymore.
Nah, you had to go on the road. You were barely getting paid to rape. It was a different thing back then.
He did it for the love of the art.
For the love of it.
Now everyone's doing it for the clout. Everyone does it for the clout.
No, it was.
You had to meet him in real life. None of this online bullshit.
Yeah, we didn't have drugs.
What the fuck is the name of the movie with Jodie Foster?
The Accused.
The Accused.
Pinball machine.
Brutal rape scene. Brutal.
You want to see it? Do you want us to show
terrible
it?
Terrible edit.
No, we're not going to watch it. It's fine.
Can I jump in for a second, Lewis?
That's a line from the movie.
I'm sorry. I didn't know anything about this. And on Netflix, there was... there's a series called something about Trial by Media or something like that. And they told the whole real life story behind it and how she ended up actually, I don't know if this is in the movie, but she died afterwards because she was, she went out and she was drinking all the time because it ruined her life. And she crashed her car into a pole 2 years later.
I thought her stomach fell out of her pussy. I was like, holy shit. What a brutal way to die.
But they told the whole real story on that. It's very interesting. It's terrifying.
Yeah, it's fuck. I didn't know that it was a real story. First of all, that also makes me feel a little more ashamed for masturbating to the movie the other day.
Did you crank one out?
Because it starts hot. It starts you're like okay, I'm getting a little turned on here. It's like it's a movie. Okay, relax, everyone.
Any other actress, I'd be in there. But you just
she's hot, dude. She's hot back then. Jodie Foster is a fucking smoke show in that movie. Shannon, goddamn, pulled the scene. God damn it, Jenny, you have to
find her picture.
Lewis, I think you're confused. You probably jacked off to her in Taxi Driver. That was when she was like 12 years old.
She was a child, yes.
Harvey Keitel was pimping her out.
Pull up the rape scene in The Accused. It's fucking...
This is just a real ass podcast drop whenever.
It's brutal because she's, here's what's happening is in the back of the, and by the way, I saw this movie, you know, how I always tell people that I saw the movie Clockwork Orange when I was like 7 or 8. I saw this movie when it came out on video. It was a new release. I remember my mom rented it. So this came out in 1988 when I was 6 years old. It must have come out on video a year later. So I must have been 7 when I saw this fucking movie. I remember this scene clear as day from when I was a fucking child. My mom exposed me to multiple gang rapes in movies when I was like my son's age. I freaked out about showing him Beethoven Second and showing him Happy Gilmore. I felt like I was fucking abusing my child. Okay. And I'm fucking, Lewis, tell us what happened to your forehead. I had a pimple and I keep on picking it. Thank you. But this scene, I remember clear as fucking day. And my mom, she's like watching this movie, and it's a good movie. I mean, I get it, she wants to watch some fucking good courtroom drama, but this fucking scene will fuck you up. Mm. Do you find, you have it, Shannon?
Sorry, I'm trying to find it. I keep stopping right before it happens.
It's toward the
end. Story of my life.
It's towards the end of the movie.
It is? They
start off with her like running out of the bar. The first scene is just like her being like, running out of the street. You're like, oh my God, this is awesome.
As a bunch of guys chant, high score, high score, high score.
I said this on another podcast, but at first I thought it was just a sequel to the Who's Tommy.
He starts kissing her, he puts her up on the pinball, and it ends.
No, it doesn't end there. Oh, no, if it ended there, there'd be no trial.
I can't. I'm trying to find the clip.
She's lying. I knew she was lying the whole time.
I will never believe a woman.
I don't want to do this. I respect that. Have a good night, my lady. Ding, 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 ding. Ooh, it's in the basket.
We need to just remake this classic movie, but just make it so that she's just a lying bitch. She's
yeah. If Lewis wasn't only banned from the one club with pinball machines.
She's planting semen on herself and stuff. Yeah. It's The Accused, but a total lie version. Yeah.
The Accuser?
She goes around just lying all the time.
Being embarrassed isn't rape.
A Harvey Weinstein release. The Accuser.
Shannon, you don't have it?
No, I'm sorry.
That might be tough to like Vimeo.
It's on Amazon Prime. Shannon, have it just for the next episode. Just pull that
scene. It'll come up again.
Have Dylan on one of these guys. No, we'll do a continuation. We'll continue this. We should explore. You know what we should do? We should, because we talked about this on a very, very, very early episode of Legion of Skanks with Kurt Metzger, one of the first 10 episodes we ever did. We talked about rape scenes that we've masturbated to, and this is one of the ones. We should rate the top rape scenes, the best rape scenes in movies, and that's depending on how you define best rape, we can figure that out. But Shannon, I think maybe on the next episode, why don't you and Dylan have a fun little project, and you pull up maybe the top 10 rape scenes, and we can really just go through them.
Yeah, like you're picking the Oscars.
I'll send you guys some crib notes.
I got this Shannon. One. There's also one, a very little known one that scarred me for a long time. Ricky, the guy from Silver Spoons, what was his name?
Ricky Schroeder.
Ricky Schroeder was in a movie where he played like this young Navy kid. He goes out, he gets drunk, and then gets thrown into a jail cell with like these two older Navy guys, and they rape him. And I have never been able to find the movie again because it was scarring.
The scene in Kids, the scene in Kids where Ginny's getting raped. No, not even that rough. Very jerkable scene where Casper is raping Jenny. And then also once you see Penn and Teller's bullshit and you realize that getting AIDS as a man by fucking a woman in the vagina is almost damn near impossible. It's like a 1 in 5,000 chance you could even do it, even if she has AIDS. You're like, okay, the whole plot of the movie, the whole twist, the whole M. Night Shyamalan of the movie, which is like, oh, go, shit, Casper's getting AIDS right now. It didn't even happen. He just raped Ginny. Got some puss.
Awful.
Interesting. No. The worst is Irreversible. Have you guys not seen that one?
No.
It's like 10 minutes long, one shot.
Ooh.
In a subway tunnel.
It's like Tony Hinchcliffe's Netflix special.
I like the artistic integrity of it.
No, it's still online.
If we're talking about it. He said it was good.
Come on. So listen to me.
Hey, top 10.
Yeah, there was somebody else just said another one that was good as well.
Deliverance, was it?
Shit. No.
Somebody said, Deliverance, I Spit on Your Grave. Scrapbook, that's the movie I've suggested.
Oh, Amy Schumer, The Leather Special.
Yeah.
Boys Don't Cry, The Woodsman.
Yeah, there was another one up there that I saw that I don't know what it was, but yeah, there's been a bunch of ones. Oh, that we talked about on the podcast.
Yeah, we tossed an hour down just to 10, though.
So, yeah, why don't we pick the top rape scenes for the next podcast, and we'll rate them and we'll give awards away. The Rapies. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Rapey Awards.
The Rapies. The Thunder Miss and Rapies.
All right, look, we got to wrap this one. This has been a really fun show. Love you guys. Make sure you guys support everyone here. Colin Terrell, Aaron Berg, Zach Amico. Another episode of the Real Ass Podcast in the motherfucking books. Thank you guys for supporting the show. Go follow everyone on social media. We will be back with another incredible episode on Friday. Yes, Friday it is. All right, peace.
That's all, folks.